800-631-9241. 800-631-9241. That's 800-631-9241.
It's Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Doing up a Thursday. My name is Dablo. Good morning. 2 below right now. Mostly cloudy is what you are waking up to. Thursday Talk Round, one of my favorite segments here, talking with our favorite historian, Jana Gageland, like we do every Thursday. Jana, good morning.
Good morning to you.
You have been digging around. I love this topic. We're going to be talking about girls basketball
we
today,
are.
Correct?
We are, yeah.
It's kind of an anniversary, and I'll let you cover
it
that.
It is, yeah. So what I found was that Wahpeton as a school, there was some evidence, however, just a few mentions of girls basketball in 1905 and then again in 1908. So it seemed like it was kind of sporadic.
Okay.
You know, and back in that time, they wore blouses with bows. They had bows in their hair. They wanted to keep it a little feminine looking.
Mm-hmm.
And you played 6-on-6, so there were 3 on the offensive side and 3 in the defensive side.
Really?
Of the half court, yes. And then if you were on the defense, you could get it to half court by passing, or you were allowed 2 dribbles. And then you could pass it across the line, and then the offensive side of your team would take over, again, with 2 dribbles and then a pass.
That was the structure?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the scores were like 4-3. There wasn't a lot of...
Not real exciting.
Not a lot of scoring, yeah. There weren't a lot of people really involved in that. But the universities and the colleges had women's basketball during that time, too. But to save on money, and so they didn't have to travel so far, a lot of them just played local high schools.
Sure.
Our teams included.
Okay.
We played science school a lot. And then the Wahpeton Indian School always had a team.
Sure.
So that was kind of cool. I did find a little bit of information in some of the newspapers. They played at the Armory because the high school here did not have a gymnasium.
Really?
Right. So they played their games at the Armory when they could.
Okay.
And, of course, Company I had a team.
Of course.
Yep. So in 1914, we had a record of 3 wins and 2 losses. We played the Indian School and we played Battle Lake.
So we were talking before, every town had a team.
Yes, they did. They had teams in Christine, Galshute, Abercrombie, Antelope, Walcott, Morton, Winemere.
Girls basketball
all over the place, yes. And then in 1920s, it was pretty consistent. I could find evidence that we had a pretty good team year mm-hmm. after year in the 20s. Why in the 20s when during Depression time? I don't know. But we did. We had some pretty good teams. Again, very limited schedule.
Sure.
But we would travel to our games by the Great Northern Railroad, especially to the Fargo teams.
This is fascinating stuff.
So we would get on the train, and sometimes it had to be an overnighter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1927, the team was playing fast, and the guarding was close, and the crowd was on their feet most of the time for the girls' game. And the score was 15-14 in favor of Hankinson.
Yeah. Not high scoring, but apparently everybody was into it.
But, you know, they always looked ahead.
Yeah.
We have a strong team next year because we're only going to lose 1 to graduation. Oh, boy. And then we went to Winemere in 1930. We played the Indian School. The scores were a little bit better, 14-4 and 16-3. So St. John's had a team
mm-hmm.
because they had a high school, Dwight, Colfax, teams all over the place. In 1939, this was the list of the players on the alumni team.
So okay.
They scrimmaged the alumni, so we must have had basketball somewhere.
My Aunt Charlene.
Yep. I thought, oh, what are the chances? I mean, I just pulled 1939 out of the air and thought, well, let's just try 1939.
Charlene Dablo on the alumni team.
Yep.
And I remember her talking about that.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay.
Good stuff. Thank you for bringing that in.
The alumni won that game 24-22. So then I go to the yearbooks. And in the late 40s and 50s, they had what was called a Girls Athletic Association.
Mm-hmm.
And they would meet weekly. You know, prior to that, when the basketball teams were practicing, the boys might have practiced Monday, Wednesday, and the girls Tuesday, Thursday. So there was really not a lot of, you know, time to work on your skills. But when they started the GAA thing, then you'd get a chance to do other things, you know. So every year, the seniors would come up with the team. And so they would challenge the sophomores and the freshmen and the juniors, and most all the time the seniors won. I mean, they had a little bit of experience, and they were still playing the three-on-three.
Sure.
And they hadn't, you know, gone to the other more traditional style. However, Class B was always playing that. They never...
That's what you were saying. It was like you just played forever.
Yeah. Yeah. They always had teams, and for some reason we didn't. Home economics and things like that are mentioned a lot when you try to find something on girls basketball. I just came up with girls glee club, girls home ec, girls whatever. So then we get to the 60s where there's this really nothing going on, especially for Class A schools.
Okay.
Along came the Title IX in 1973.
And that changed everything.
72, 73. That changed it totally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it said that, hey, you got to offer some more activities for girls. So they offered girls basketball. Prior to that, all the seasons were held at the same time of the boys' season. You know, so it was in the winter, opposite of football, of course. Mm-hmm. But when they brought it back in, then the girls were in the fall.
Okay, so I was going to ask you that, you know, as far as the time of the year, did it change? Okay.
It went to the fall, and when we started it here in 1973, there were not teams in Fargo or whatever. If there were, they played amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. Again, a new beginning, so to speak. So we played probably Lidgewood, Hankinson, Fairmont, of course, Milner, Winemere, you know, all the Class B schools in the area. They had their own conference, but they let us come in and play and mm-hmm. be part of the tournament. And we were 2-5, I think, that year.
Okay.
There were five out for the varsity and maybe a handful, 6 or 7 for the JV. So they tried to play both a varsity and a JV. And our scores were, you know, not great, but, you know, it was their first experience to playing 5-on-5.
Wow.
And so now we don't know it any other way. 50 years later, we still have girls basketball at the high school level.
Absolutely.
Gone through a few different coaches. I think that in 1974, then we started the two-class system
mm-hmm.
because it was like girls basketball is here to stay.
Right.
So then the larger schools became the Class A schools and the Class B. Of course, Class B, you know, there was Pat Smykowski from Lidgewood.
Oh, sure.
You know, the Miss Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very first for our part of the state. Probably 2002, then they switched the girls to the winter season along with boys. So that's been around for half of the time, you know, they have had girls basketball in the winter with the boys. So, again, the 50th anniversary of the girls basketball at the high school, I think it's just a really cool thing.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe it's been 50 years.
I can't either. When you say that, it's like I got to stop and try to get my arms around that. It's like that, you know.
And, of course, we've had a good season with girls basketball throughout the years, state mm-hmm. champions. Now we have athletes from girls basketball that have been able to go to other colleges for education and on scholarships
right.
and for their athletic ability. So this has been what they termed a new beginning, and I think it's really cool that we had this new beginning.
Boy, how long did it take you to come up with all this information? I know you said you had to dig and kind of piecemeal things together.
Well, the 73 part I pretty much knew. It was the other stuff.
Right.
And I knew kind of this 3-on-3 thing, but...
That's fascinating to me.
But the fact that we didn't have it, and then we had intramurals, and
And I can't believe every town had a team.
Oh, yeah.
Every town around here.
Yes. That was their whole thing of entertainment. You know, mm-hmm. And I'm sure the girls' games are just as, you know, followed with fans as, mm-hmm. you know, people in the stands for the boys. You know, they just...
And good competition.
Very good. Very good.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
fascinating
anyway,
stuff.
That's my deal.
Jana Gageland, thank you so much.
Yeah.
What's our topic going to be next week, or haven't you decided yet?
I have I'm thinking front page news from 1924.
Okay, let's do that.
See what we can come up with, you know. Probably look at January 1st and
sure.
next week would be February. Not sure what's out there. I suppose there'll be a lot of stuff on Prohibition and stills and those kinds of things, but maybe there'll be a good story somewhere too.
I'm sure. Keep digging.
I will.
I love this segment. Jana Gageland talking Wahpeton history. We do it every Thursday at this time. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
You want what you want. At Quality Toyota, we totally understand that we aren't going to talk you into a car you don't want. Instead, we're here to help you find the car, the color, the options, and the style that you do want. All with a simple, easy, and stress-free approach. Because the price listed online or in every windshield is the only price. That way, we can concentrate on getting you the right car. Quality Toyota, West Lincoln Avenue in Fergus Falls. QualityToyota.net. Let's go places.
At Chehinkapa Zoo, daily tasks are done with love and tenderness. Zoo work is hard work. It is more than a job. Looking into the eyes of precious wildlife is a reward. Conservation is our mission. Zookeepers care deeply for the beautiful animals in their charge. Chehinkapa Zoo staff and volunteers understand the stories behind these exceptional faces. Compassion, emotion, and empathy. Chehinkapa Zoo animals receive excellent care because of human devotion, dedication, and you.
Giving Hearts Day, February 8th.
Hey, you're up next.
Ugh, my throat hurts so bad. There's no way I can sing tonight.
Here, try these.
Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Yeah, Vicks VapoCool Drops has maximum strength menthol with a rush of Vicks vapors.
Ooh, I can already feel it.
I told you. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Please welcome to the stage.
Vaporize sore throat pain fast with Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Hey, Brent, love the color. If you had to choose, would you watch paint dry or compare benefits plans?
Compare benefits plans, obviously.
But you know how complicated benefits are, right?
Well, I run payroll with Gusto. Gusto makes it easy to find benefits like medical, dental, and vision for my whole team.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm going to need new glasses.
Don't worry. You're covered.
Choose benefits without the mess. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.